Truth Revolution.
Merry Christmas!
You had that sparkle in your eye.
Yes, I jumped in there on Pete Dave. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Christmas Eve, and at Revolution Church, we're having four services.
Right. It's going to be awesome.
What are the service times?
The service times are 10 o'clock,
yes.
11:30,
yes.
5:30,
yes.
And 7.
Yes.
Those last two are in the p.m., by the way.
Yeah, we're not having church at 5:30 in the morning.
Right.
And if we are, you already missed it. So, yeah, that's right. 10 o'clock, 11:30 in the morning, then 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Right.
You can come to any of those. They're all going to be identical services. They may get more awesome as the day goes on, or they may get less awesome because we're more tired.
Right. I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I think they're going to be equally awesome.
They are.
It'll be more awesome if you're there, listener.
That's true.
I'm talking to you. If I knew your name, I'd say it right now. John.
Steve.
Gary.
Joe.
Louise.
Jasmine. Mary.
Becky. Mad Jasmine? Okay. Mad Jasmine. Okay, anyway, so we're done trying to guess listeners' names on Christmas name. We're done with that. But we do want to, before we actually get into the show's content, we want to share with you, if you haven't heard this already, a song that our Revolution Worship Band did. This is O Come, Emmanuel.
Life to the Virgin, holy insertion, God full of mercy, we didn't deserve him. He sent the Savior, his only son, to help forgive the things that we've done. The people prepared, brought gifts for his glory. The evil among us, Christ running the story. Love so flawless, mercy untamed, the Father Almighty, the Son of his name.
O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel.
And untamed until the Savior came, then he changed the game.
Thou rod of Jesse free, thine own from Satan's tyranny, from the depths of hell that people say, and give them victory.
Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel.
Yeah. That's good stuff, right?
Yeah, it is really good stuff. I like, at the end there. We should have done that for real. Right. Anyway, we had fun doing that. If you watched on YouTube or the TV, you saw the video.
Right.
If you're listening on radio show or podcast, you got to get over to revo.church/Christmas
right.
to see the video.
Because it's not going to stay up there for the whole year, I don't think.
Well, at revo.church/Christmas. You can probably go to revo.church/Christmas in July and see what happened to the previous Christmas.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll leave it up then.
Anyway, you should...
I was trying to get them a little bit of, you know, urgency there, but that's okay.
That's urgency. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we're taking it down tomorrow.
If you don't go right now, someone will die.
That's a little bit much,
I'm trying to create urgency. You told me to create urgency.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
We'll just leave it at that.
All right. Let's just get in to today's main content. This is Christmas, so we're going to talk about who you can be on Christmas this year, and you can choose to be either King Herod, Joseph, the knowledgeable Jewish people, or the Magi.
Right on. That sounds like fun. Sounds like we're getting ready to play a game.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're going to look at each group in depth. You got to choose one of these people because these people pretty much cover every possible option about how you respond to the Jesus story,
okay.
except just saying that it doesn't exist. So we're going to, although that's covered a little bit, but anyway, what we're going to do first is look at King Herod. Okay. King Herod is one of these major players in mm-hmm. the Christmas story. And you have the option of being King Herod, who is hostile towards Jesus. And maybe some of you are actually hostile towards Jesus. I want you to listen to, this is the Christmas story. We get in here. These are verses 2-3, verse 8 and verse 16. Book of Luke.
The Magi asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this.
King Herod.
What did I say?
King Herod.
Oh,
I'm just pointing it out.
Okay, King Herod, sorry.
So here's a little teaching tip for everybody. Mm-hmm. When you're reading a long section of stuff, mm-hmm. always interrupt and interject something. That way people's brains don't just zone out.
Gotcha, okay.
So I was interrupting so people don't zone out.
Thank you. When
King Herod
heard this, he was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him.
The whole town.
He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him."
All right, so he's like, I want to go worship him. Tell me where he is. He's like,
He's lying.
But he's acting right. He's making an actual official search.
Right. Okay. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi.
Because they took off. They didn't tell him what's up.
They jetted. He was furious. Yeah. And he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under in accordance with the time that he had learned from the Magi.
All right. So here we have it. We have the first option. By the way, the 2 years right there. Jesus may have stayed in Bethlehem for 2 years after he was born because they learned from the Magi. It was 2 years ago,
right?
Apparently, when the star showed up, or the stellar object, whatever bright thing it was.
Right, I mean, we could call it a star. Everybody else does, right?
Right. All right, so you got to go listen to our show last year with Dr. Hugh Ross, and where he talked about it was not probably a star, but that's a totally thing. Okay, so we can be like King Herod, pretending to worship Jesus, but actually despising Jesus. All right, he was the appointed king from the Romans. Herod himself wasn't Jewish, but he converted to Judaism. He married a Jewish woman to bolster his claim as king. So already we know this dude likes to pretend.
Right.
All right. He's like, he married a Jewish woman just so that he would fit in the Jewish culture better so they wouldn't depose him as king.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's crazy.
Now, what we read about Herod is horrible, right? He's slaughtering all these innocent babies. Why would he do this? Because just in case there really was a child who was born to be the king, Herod's throne would be protected. I know what you're thinking. Well, okay, you're saying I could be Herod. I would never kill all the children. But, you know, we all think about that ourselves. Right. Like, well, I wouldn't ever mass murder people. But Herod wasn't all that bad. If you study history, he isn't known in most history books as a terrible guy.
Right.
He helped thousands of Jews avoid starvation by giving away food.
He even melted down gold items from the palace to pay for the food.
Exactly. Think about this. This is a king, and he's got his palace with gold, and you always hear stories like, let them eat cake.
Right. I'm not giving out my gold for.
Yeah. He melted his gold down to pay for food for people who couldn't pay for it. He rebuilt the Jewish temple. Right. What?
Yeah.
That's huge.
Well, he did convert to Judaism, so.
He was known as the greatest architect of Jewish cities.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. This guy did lots of good stuff, but he also balanced that with some horrible things.
Mm.
All right. He killed his brother-in-law. He drowned him.
He killed his wife. had her strangled.
Thinking this guy's got a temper. He killed two of his own sons.
Woof. Even called many Jewish elders near his deathbed when he was about to pass away, and he commanded that all the Jewish elders be executed immediately after he died so that there would be mourning after his death.
This guy's got issues.
You think?
Gosh, I want people to really mourn and be sad when I die. Kill lots of people right when I die. Wow. That's disgusting. But right. And true, you've probably never killed thousands of children just so you wouldn't have to follow Jesus. By the way, he probably didn't kill thousands.
Right.
It was probably like a dozen or something. I mean, it was a small town in Bethlehem. But you've probably never killed a dozen people. Mm-hmm. But it's also true that you've never saved thousands of lives like Herod. You never rebuilt the nation's most prized building. You probably never rebuilt a temple for God. But understand this, it's not necessarily about what you've done, about how many people you killed or how many you saved. It's about what side are you on? Are you on Jesus' side or not?
Uh-huh.
Are you following Jesus or are you opposing Jesus with the way you live and think and worship? Not, you can be Herod.
Right, yeah.
You can be a guy who doesn't really want anything to do with Jesus. Now, you could also be Joseph. And Joseph was...
Joseph was the father. Well, he was the earthly father of Jesus.
Yeah. Okay. And so Joseph was an obedient servant to God, right? Mary's husband, Jesus' father, his adopted father. In verse 13, 14, 19, 23, we read this.
It says, when the Magi had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him.
And then the verse continues.
So he got up and took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt.
Okay, the dude, Joseph, he just got up in the middle of the night and left.
Right.
Right. He moved everything. Why? Because God told him to.
Right. And that's where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled that the Lord said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son.
Okay.
After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. For those who were trying to take the child's life are dead.
So Joseph again, what's he going to do?
He got up.
He's going to obey.
Yep. And he took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus, whatever, was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee.
Okay.
And he went and lived in the town called Nazareth.
Oh.
So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets. He will be called a Nazarene.
All right, so here we have Joseph obeying, right? Mary gets pregnant. Angel says Mary. He still marries her. God tells him to move to Egypt. He moves to Egypt. God tells him to come back. He comes back. He has a dream about going to a different town. He goes to a different town. He just obeys.
Right.
He knows what God wants him to do, and he obeys. I was in high school. I was sitting in the commons area after gym. All of a sudden, this kid comes running down right towards me, jumps over me. I thought he was going to kick my butt. Oh. He jumps over me, hits the kid behind me. They start fighting. All these kids start pouring down into the hallways in the commons area, just fighting, beating each other up. I mean,
it's like a brawl.
There was a massive brawl in our school. They had to bring like the police paddy wagon and stuff. A lot of people were arrested. But you know what started the fight the day before? One kid asked another kid for light on the cigarette and the other kid wouldn't give him one.
Seriously.
Yeah. They got into a fight or an argument and then it escalated. The problem was that selfishness was more important than helping others. Not wanting to give someone a lighter caused a riot.
That's crazy.
Okay, Joseph, he's a prime example of what we should do with selfishness when it comes in regard with God. Right. Right? We're not like, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to not help you out. I'm going to riot. I'm going to fight. No, Joseph stuck with Mary, even though she would have been ridiculed in her culture because she got pregnant before she was married.
Right, absolutely.
He would have been ridiculed for marrying her. He didn't care. He wasn't going to fight. He's just going to obey God. He moved to a foreign country to protect Jesus.
Right.
Not many of us can say we've done that.
Mm-hmm.
Joseph risked his own life for Jesus because people were trying to kill Jesus. Let me ask you a question. If Herod was known for killing his own wife, his brother-in-law, and his sons, do you think he would have had any qualms about killing Joseph?
Nope.
All right. Plus, Joseph's obedience fulfilled prophecy. I mean, he just, again and again and again, right. Joseph just does what he's supposed to do. But do you think Joseph was talking about it all the time? No, I doubt it.
No.
He's a humble guy.
Right.
Right? God comes to him in a dream. He tells him, move, do this, do that. He just gets up and he just goes. He's not bragging about it.
Wow.
This is what God wants us to be like. Just obedient. Now, we're going to come back and tackle this a little bit more. But before we get out of here, you need to be coming to Revolution Church. It's Christmas Eve. Come to Revolution Church.
Right? Why wouldn't you come? I mean, it is Christmas Eve. What else are you doing? Maybe you got some family things going on. But we do this all day.
I know why that might not come. They want to judge people.
Oh.
And they think all Christians are like judgy people.
They're
and,
not.
And hypocritical. And
they're not.
They're judging us, so they won't come.
Right.
Don't judge us. Come on out to Revolution Church today for Christmas Eve.
Christmas is awesome, but do you ever get tired of putting on a show?
You gotta look fabulous for the family.
Presents must be impressive.
Dinner must be a winner.
And you gotta keep your house clean.
Hey, at Revolution Church, we believe God cares more about the inside than the outside.
Christmas decorations are nice, but what's at the heart of Christmas?
It's not about how you dress or whether or not your kids are perfect. Thank God.
It's about Jesus.
Come join us on Sunday, Christmas Eve.
Online at revo.church.
That's right. Check us out at revo.church.
Revolution Church. Do you love Truth Revolution?
Of course they do, Dave.
Well, if you do, or...
Or if you appreciate the fact that thousands of people are being taught that Christianity is compatible with science and logic.
Or if you simply love the fact that we hear from people often who say, this show changed my life, I love Jesus.
Then consider a donation.
You can visit truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church and donate.
We don't get paid from this show.
But it's our goal to give truth, give knowledge, give encouragement.
And your giving keeps all of our giving going.
Join Revolution Church on Christmas Eve, morning or evening. We'll have four service times to choose from.
And here's how it's going to go down.
We'll play four Christmas songs, but in modern rock or pop.
With some rap.
And everyone gets a glow light, kind of like a candlelight service, but less flammable.
Right. Then the kids are going to have a special kids program in the kids area. They're going to have tons of fun, snacks, and the Christmas story.
The adults will stay where they're at and listen to a funny, practical, biblical, and engaging teaching by Pastor Jeff.
So come on out. You can even preview what our services are like online.
That's online at revo.church.
revo.church.
Do you know, or are you, a woman between 18 and 22 aging out of foster care or without a place to live?
If your goal is to continue your education, whether it's a college degree or GED, the Hope House may be the place for you.
Located in Salina, Kansas, Hope House is a beautiful home, providing not only a place to live, but a place to grow.
As a program of the Ashby House, Hope House provides dedicated volunteers and staff members who are there to help you accomplish your goals.
If this sounds like it might be a place for you or someone you know, please visit hopehouseks.org.
That's hopehouseks.org. What's your favorite Christmas song?
Oh, Holy Night, or maybe O Come, Emmanuel.
How about your kids? What do they like?
Jingle Bells, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, but honestly, at bedtime, we're just working on Silent Night.
Everyone is invited to Revolution Church on Christmas Eve.
We have a fantastic kids program that will help your children know the Christmas story and have fun at the same time.
We don't believe in boring.
It does not exist.
Revolution Church on Christmas Eve. Services in the morning are at 10 a.m. and 11:30 a.m.
And services in the evening are at 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Online at revo.church.
revo.church.
We love Christmas cookies.
We love Christmas lights.
We love Christmas presents.
But the most important part is Christ.
We think God cares more about what's on the inside of a person than the outside. That's why at Revolution Church, we don't care what you wear.
And we also think it's true that God cares more about the inside than the outside when it comes to Christmas.
Let's eat the cookies, share the presents, put up lights.
And remember the awesome meaning behind it all. Jesus is the light of the world.
The wise men gave Jesus gifts at his birth.
So join us at Revolution Church for a rockin' glow light Christmas Eve service.
Truth Revolution.
Hey man, talking about who would you be out of these four people that we were talking about? We've already talked about Herod.
Yes.
We've talked about Joseph.
Yes. Now we're going to talk about the knowledgeable Jews.
The knowledgeable Jews. All right.
There were some Jewish people in Jesus' time who are super knowledgeable. All right, and then in Luke, verses 4 to 6, it says this.
When King Herod had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written.
Now listen. They're going to quote the prophet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they are going to quote a prophet. What does this mean? This means they know. Well, here, just listen and see what they know.
But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd for my people, Israel.
Okay, maybe we aren't hostile like Herod. Maybe we aren't serving like Joseph, but there is another category. The Jews who knew the prophecies and told Herod, but did not go to Jesus.
Dun, dun, dun.
Can you imagine this?
Yeah.
Okay, they know. These guys know, and by the way, we're not quoting it from Daniel, but they also knew this was the time, right? The time was near for the Messiah to come. They should have known the time. They knew this prophecy. They knew that the Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem, and they didn't go.
Right.
They didn't go. I mean, imagine the building's on fire, and you're holding a fire extinguisher, and you just sit there, and you're like, hey, guys, to put out a fire, you use a fire extinguisher. Right. You have the knowledge, you have the equipment, you have everything you need, you just don't pull the trigger. That's what these guys were doing.
Right, and that, honestly, it sounds like a lot of people in society today.
Yeah, they'll probably let people listen to the show right now. Like, you believe in God, you believe in Jesus, you know Revolution Church is having Christmas Eve services today, but you're just not planning on coming out.
Why are you still sitting at home?
Why? What? Why?
Hmm.
It's like, if God is real, if Jesus really did rise from the dead, that should change everything about everything we do.
Absolutely, because if what we're talking about is true, that means that you have one of two choices or one of two places you're going to wind up in eternity. Wouldn't you rather the good place? You know, this is big stuff.
It's huge.
Yeah.
Now, these smart Jewish people, Herod says, where is he going to be born? They say Bethlehem, right? Herod's like, oh, okay, great, because there's some wise men, some magi who stopped by. They're going to Bethlehem. There's a star that appeared. Not a star, but a star or whatever. Oh, wow, the Messiah is born. It's in Bethlehem, just like predicted. No, we don't see any of these teachers visiting Jesus. Mm-hmm. We don't see the people who knew what to do doing anything. All the knowledge, all the ability, but no action. It's like having a fire extinguisher, not putting out the fire. You know what that's called?
Apathy.
Apathy's good. Mm-hmm. I was going to say obtuse.
Obtuse. Well, yeah.
Or obstinate. I'm kind of obstinate or obtuse by nature. When I cook, my wife will give me this great recipe, and you know what I have to do? I have to throw in an extra ingredient or leave one out, try to improve the taste.
Okay.
Right? Mainly because I just want to do it my way. And my guess is there's a lot of people who are not hostile towards Jesus like Herod. Most people aren't just obedient servants like Joseph. Most of the world, perhaps even most of us listening to this show, we're just kind of obstinate, indifferent. Like I just kind of want to do life my way.
My way.
Terrible song. Although it was in the movie Sing that my kids are obsessed with. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Anyway, so I mean, you've heard this, but some of you just won't follow Jesus Christ. Spiritually apathetic people don't go to heaven because they don't know or love God.
Oof.
If we're apathetic towards God, why would he expect God to be anything but apathetic towards us?
That's a good point.
Huh. Imagine huge fire comes roaring into your room, right? You got a fire extinguisher, but you say, you know what? I'm not against the fire. I'm not for the fire. I'm not doing anything. Well, the fire's not going to judge me.
Right? Well, the fire doesn't judge you.
The fire just consumes you.
Yeah, totally. Doesn't really care.
God consumes. God's coming. God's judging, right? You can't just sit and be apathetic and go, you know what? I'm not against God, right? God's going to be fine. I'm not against him. All right, that's it. That's the third option. Now, we got a fourth option, but first we're going to answer Bible contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
Scoop-a-ga-down.
All right. Is the law of Moses useful?
Yes.
All right. That's
that's the end.
Good job. All right, well, let's check this out. Let's go to Scripture, not to Jeff.
Oh, okay.
All right, we'll go to Jeff in a minute. All right, 2 Timothy 3:16 said, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness.
Yes, all Scripture is profitable. Yeah.
However, Hebrews 7:18 says the former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless.
Oh.
What's up with that?
So no, it's not good.
That is totally a contradiction.
The Bible is weak and useless.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so our cracked acronym, C-R-A-C-K-E-D, the A stands for?
Author's intent.
The intention of the author. All right, can something be perfect and useful and not useful at the same time? Sure.
Okay.
It absolutely can. All right, my math teacher did perfect work and taught perfectly about angles and geometry, but it was not useful for writing a song that I was writing.
Right. And, you know, when my eyes lit up there, if you saw that, I was like, oh, it all depends on what you're doing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. When the writer of Hebrews says that the regulations God gave were useless, is he saying that the nature of God's words are useless?
Absolutely not.
No. Or is he saying that it was useless to get us into heaven? Ding, 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 ding. Right? He would agree with 2 Timothy that all Scripture is God breathed, and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training, right? The writer of Hebrews would agree with that. Everything God said is good, and everything God said is true, but it doesn't mean it's all equally useful to get into heaven to be saved. Amen. From your sins. In Hebrew, the book of Hebrews that we read, the quote, former regulations that he was talking about, where he says the former regulations are set aside as weak and useless. Right. It was the regulations of the priest and what line they had to come from. Jesus didn't come from Levitical priesthood. So while the priesthood was fine, it was okay for God to set that up. and even perfect in its time, it didn't produce a priest that could actually save people from their sins.
Right.
And so this isn't a contradiction. He's just showing you the difference between a good and perfect rule of God, which was to have a society with priests who teach you about Jesus, who have a sacrificial system, and how that doesn't actually save you. You have to have someone else named Jesus who saves you. So the former regulations weren't useful to save you from your sins. They were useful and perfect for something else, and that's not a contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
Well, I was scared there for a minute.
No, you weren't. Not really. You used to get scared.
I did. I used to back when I would find a. I've told you this before. I used to wade through Bible contradictions and be like, this one's too hard. I don't think Jeff would want to do that one. And then it's like I started running out of Bible contradictions. And then I was like, well, what about this one? And you know, we just blaze through them. Now it's used the correct acronym and it's a useful tool.
Yeah, I think this is the deal. Like a lot of people are scared that they're not going to be able to find answers to their questions.
Right.
And so they don't ask the hard questions.
Hey, the answers are out there.
Yeah. When you don't ask the hard question, you just get little tiny doubts put in your brain and they don't go away. So don't just ignore the question because it's not going to go away.
Right. Matter of fact, they probably grow doubts.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah.
All right. Option four. You don't want to be Herod who hates Jesus. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be, well, you could be Joseph who's just simply obedient.
Yeah.
You don't want to be the Jewish people who knew about Jesus, apathetic. But didn't, yeah, but didn't do anything about it. But option four, you can be the Magi who responded with joy, worship, and giving to Jesus.
Yeah. All right. Verses 10 through 12. When the Magi saw the star, they were overjoyed.
Yeah.
On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him.
Why'd I say yeehaw?
I don't know, because you're a cowboy. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Okay. So I was riding my motorcycle on an enduro track.
Okay.
There's lots of forests and then there are open spaces. My dad was videotaping and I was trying to be cool. I saw him pointing the video camera at me, right?
I can see you trying to be cool.
Not funny. All right. So I see him with the video camera and he's holding it on me and I'm like, oh, camera's on me. So right. What am I going to do now?
Of course.
I'm going to try to do a trick, right? Mm-hmm. So I do this wheelie and I'm trying to hold this wheelie for like 5 minutes. Well, of course I go flying backwards. I bounce. My bike goes bouncing. I hit a dip. I go flipping, the bike goes flipping, head over heels, and I run over, we meet my dad, and the first question I ask him is, did you get it on video?
Right.
Right, not how's my motorcycle, anything like that, no. And he did get it on video.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of it, only the first part. Because after I started flipping...
should have gotten the second part. That's the best part.
It was, but after I started like going towards the ditch, he shut the camera off because he was coming to help. But All right. Now, why was I concerned what was on the video? Because the pain would have been worth it if I could demonstrate how cool it was.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, the Magi traveled for hundreds of miles. They risked their lives with King Herod, and they gave the valuable gifts, probably of their own money, and they gave it to Jesus just to worship this child. Why? Because they could see God in flesh with their own eyes.
Right.
It would all be worth it. They found him, and it was worth it. They presented gifts with him. They worshiped him, and they traveled so long and so far. When they finally found him, the Bible says they rejoiced.
Yeah.
And the Greek word for rejoice there, chara'a, it literally means calm delight. Calm delight. They were just like in awe, just like, I don't even know what to say right now.
Right, speechless.
Speechless, right? Yeah. By the time they found Jesus, probably a few weeks old. He's maybe as old as 2 years old. So imagine this little toddler walking around. And I got a 2-year-old right now.
Right.
Right. And you imagine this little toddler walking around making messes. Like he's got a diaper.
Uh-huh.
He could be making those kind of messes. Mm-hmm. And these guys, these magi, these wise men come in with gold and frankincense. And there's this quiet intensity. They can hardly believe this child is God in flesh, a king. And we can be like that.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, I read the scriptures and I look at what Jesus did. I just, wow, this was God in flesh.
Right.
And the Magi were renowned. They were famous for their wealth of knowledge. They were mathematicians. They were scientists, astronomers. They used all of their knowledge and wealth to know Jesus better.
Wow, that's commitment.
We can do that.
Yeah.
You're going to meet Jesus someday. You can either be Herod. You can be the apathetic Jews who knew better. You can be Joseph who obeys, or you can be the Magi, or a combination, but I suggest being the Joseph-like Magi. Obey God whenever he talks to you, but worship him with passion.
Amen.
And come on out to Revolution Church. It's Christmas Eve.
That's right. We're celebrating four services today.
It's going to be a rock and glow light service. Your kids are going to love it. You're going to love it. 10 a.m., 11:30 a.m., 5:30 p.m., 7 p.m. Don't want to miss it.
It's going to be fun.
Make this a family tradition, right? Just come out, worship a little bit of it, learn about God. It's going to be less than an hour. So easy to come out here and learn. No one's going to ask you to introduce yourself. We just want you to come in, enjoy the service with us. We'll do a few songs, a little preaching, then we're out of here. Have a great week. God bless.